This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Race Your Game. Good morning. Frida Liu here and Shankar Santuram from EQTD Consulting.
Absolutely. All right.
The five C's of developing quality workplace relationships is our second week, and it's about courtesy and trust. Yes, Shankar, to talk about courtesy.
Very
and
courteous
trust.
Man.
And we all know what those words mean.
Yes, okay,
so,
yes.
How do they work in the context of developing quality workplace relationships?
Okay, our focus.
Before that, I just have to introduce that there's another lady sitting here who will only be speaking probably a little later, but she's Karina Bahrain, owner of the La Pari Pari Resort in Langkawi. And of course, we know her because she's also a PR practitioner. She's been on the show wearing a different hat, but we'll get to you a little later. As you were saying, Shankar.
Can I talk now?
Yes.
Thank you, Frida. Our focus on this five-week series this time is on trying to understand how we develop quality workplace relationships in our organizations, because the foundation of excellent workplaces is quality workplace relationships. Courtesy and trust are two of the most important components that help a group of people come together and stay together for common goals and shared vision. And the common goals and shared vision is the company. That's essentially it. In simple terms, we all know what courtesy and trust is. I mean, you pick anybody, they'll tell you what courtesy is. We are taught courtesy from the time we're at school. You know, it means being polite in simple terms. Trust means, you know, what does trust mean? It means, you know, I believe in what you say. I believe that I can believe you, you know. But when we look at an organizational setting, we have to dig a little deeper, got to go a little bit deeper. Courtesy, I think, actually means showing politeness in one's attitude more than anything else, and behavior towards other people. That's essentially what it is, you know, just looking at people, you know, in your own, your attitude actually impacts upon the workplace relationships that you develop. So it is being polite in your attitude, because many of us lead very cut and dry lines. We're very blunt. We have to be. I'll give an example. I was talking just before coming on air.
Especially very city folk.
Absolutely. And also in the kind of environments that you work in. I had a little chat with some of the BFMers today before coming on, because you have an open plan workplace here. I would find it quite difficult to work in such an environment because of the noise levels. Everyone's talking over each other constantly. I was having a little chat and I asked them, how do you manage this? And literally after a little while, everyone says you get used to the fact there's like ambient noise at the back that you hear all the time, things going on. And then of course you get people like Uma who run, you know, four different silos screaming across to Jeff and to everyone else. How do you work along these lines? So you want to walk to people, especially when you're trying to do some work and someone is talking to you, you must be able to tell them, listen, I got to work now.
I'm so glad I have the solitude of my studio for 4 hours.
That's right. So for 4 hours in a day, you don't have any disturbances. Absolutely, you're inside here.
Except for these guests, anyway.
These nonsensical guests who are a nuisance, she says. You know? But the point is, how do you tell people, I can't talk to you right now? And that's hard, because if you get, you know, I do this when I'm working. I have a slight open plan system in my own office. The people who work with me can come and ask me whatever they wanted whenever. And I used to find myself constantly being a bit kind of snappy, you know, like, especially when you're writing a proposal to a client or you're thinking about something which you don't understand. That usually happens, you know, you're trying to reflect on what exactly you're trying to say and someone disturbs you at that point. Now, that's courtesy, being able to deal with difficult situations at the workplace like that, with an attitude of politeness, your own attitude of politeness. Trust in an organizational setting actually means a firm belief in the reliability of someone, in the truth of someone, in the ability of someone, whether they actually, you know, when the security guard says that I will do my job well, you must look at that person and say, you look like, you know, you wrestle bison for a living, so you shouldn't be a problem. You know? Or you look at someone and says, yeah, I mean, if a strong gust of wind blows, you're going to fly away. So I'm, you know, I don't know whether I can trust your ability and strength of someone or something. That's essentially it. And courtesy, I think, Frida, is centered around our attitude towards people. Whereas trust is centered around our belief in the reliability of someone else. And both courtesy and trust are vital for developing this quality workplace relationship.
Okay, just share with us what courtesy at the workplace entails, and I know you've got some research around it.
Yeah, I know. It's quite interesting. Research suggests that discourtesy in the workplace is rapidly becoming an increasingly big dilemma for a lot of businesses and organizations. The University of North Carolina, the business school, came up with this research. They said incivility in the workplace can impact the company's profits.
Ah.
And you see, now you see a lot of people kind of perking up and going like, oh my God, no, I got to think about this because...
And especially, you know, if you talk about a resort or whatever, that's the direct impact.
Absolutely.
And coming back.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And we all know of situations where we've been to restaurants, we've been somewhere where it's to do with the service industry, where the food's been good or the resort's been nice or the rooms have been great, but the people have been crap, for example, and you don't go. You don't go back there again. So incivility at the workplace, we're also talking about, at face level, it's very easy to be civil to people that you are supposed to be civil to, for example, customers. And it's very easy, for example, like Karina, you're a resort owner, you can look at a staff member and go, you're not being courteous, you're fired. Or you're not being courteous, I'm going to put you onto some training and teach you how to do it. It's very easy. What we're talking about is creating an excellent workplace where you actually need to be courteous to the people that you work with.
Absolutely.
That's the hard thing, you know. And they say that when you are not courteous to each other, incivility, the workplace amongst each other, there's a loss of profits because of loss of productivity and employee turnover. 12% quit their jobs. 52% lose work, and the most interesting thing, 22% deliberately decrease their work. So they say, you're not friendly to me? Fine. So you know what I'm going to do?
I will do the bare minimum.
Yeah. I will start packing my bag at 4:30 for a 5 o'clock departure, you know, for example. So that's it. So being courteous actually, impacts your bottom line profits with each other. Becomes very important that employers actually develop strategies. They actually come up with strategies on how to actually make sure that my staff, you must be able to look at it. If you have a strong member of your team who is not very courteous to the people around, you don't want to lose that person. At the same time, you don't want to lose everyone around there because they are being discourteous. So there are things that you can do. I mean, there's a whole list of things that you can do. Respect people and listen to understand. Do some emphatic listening. That's important. Teach your team to do emphatic listening. Be flexible. You know, a lot of people are very rigid, older generation especially. The baby boomers are very, very rigid, very uptight about, you know, this is how work should be. They have this preconceived idea of what work is. You have to counsel them and make sure that they're courteous, because being uptight, being unfriendly is discourtesy as well, you know. Giving feedback, and we talked about this before as well, being able to tell people what they think, what you think about them, what you think about the work that they do. This is courtesy. Courtesy is not just saying hi or saying thank you. Whilst those two things are vital, it's not that alone. It's to do with acknowledging the presence of someone else, knowing they have an opinion, knowing that even if that opinion is not accepted or worthwhile at this moment in time, they have an opinion. I mean, these are the kinds of things, you know. Be aware of, you know, of your voice levels. Don't pass problems over to people that can otherwise be easily solved.
Right.
So courtesy is almost like a bedrock, a cornerstone of this working, developing quality working relationships.
Okay, I'm just looking through the list that you've given here as well. And as much as possible, respond promptly to requests and questions. And I think that's important. Sometimes people...
And don't replace... The other important thing which I want to repeat here is don't replace email contact with... You know, don't replace personal contact with emails. Right. A lot of us do that.
When you can actually just give a call.
Or turn up in front of, you know, open plan system, drop by someone and just have that face-to-face interaction, because that is being courteous. And
but BFM is such a big office.
All 12 steps, that's right, from one end to the other. That's right.
Okay, trust. What can we do to develop trust?
You know that it is vital. I think any business owner will tell you that trust is vital. And trust works both ways. Whether you're a lower level employee or whether you're a supervisor, you want your co-workers to be able to trust you. No running away from that. Mm-hmm. No. And having trust in the work environment, in an organizational setting, provides a much better, much more cohesive team. I mean, as simple as that. No, they feel, when they feel that they can trust each other, when a team feels they can trust each other, they typically become much more productive and become more honest and generally are happier. And happiness quotient is vital in making a good workplace. You actually need to be happy. One of the nicest things about going to Karina's resort is that everyone who works there is happy. I think, you know, being in Langkawi and being in a resort helps a little bit, you know.
And Karina has an infectious laugh.
That's right. And possibly, you know, having a bar right in the lobby area itself helps as well, you know, for example. But there is this happy vibe all the time, you know, including the housekeepers and the security guard used to be a bit, you know, weird, but he was also happy in a weird way.
He had to be a bit serious.
How do you achieve this level of trust? Trust is, you can never walk up. It's simple. You know, when you one of the things you do always is when you have an interview, you say, you know, I want to be able to trust you. Can I trust you? What is a silly question when you ask to ask in an interview? Everyone says, of course, boss, you can trust me. No problem, boss, you can trust me. But what you need to do is you need to develop an environment. Always build an environment where trust can engender, where trust can grow, where trust can develop. It's not something that happens overnight. Don't lie. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Don't lie. All across the board. You know, whether you're the boss, your supervisor, or worker, don't lie. You haven't done something, put your hand up and say, oh my God,
I haven't done it.
Oh my God, no, I haven't done it. I'll get that sorted. You don't have to sound like Stuart from Stewie from whatever the program is, but you have to say, oh my God, I forgot about it. I'm sorry. It's something. But and also understand, if you keep repeating, oh my God, I'm sorry, after the fourth time, they'll say, you know, you're out of a job. So never lie. Talk to, you know, don't, and don't also lie because you don't want to break bad news. That's what a lot of people do. You know? Be consistent. Make sure that you are reliable and you're consistent as a worker and as a boss as well. It's not something that can be done overnight. So you need to actually be consistent so that people, trust is not something you build overnight. People need to be able to see you. Share information. Make sure that you are open. Have an open door policy. These are the kinds of things that actually help you develop trust. As I said, it takes time to build. But all it's right. actually built on reliability, openness, and doing the right thing. Focus on creating a proper work environment where trust can grow.
And we'll hear from Karina Bahrain a little bit, from owner of the La Pari Pari Resort, in just a moment, in Langkawi Island. That's the where the resort is. Together with Shankar Santor from EQTD. This is Race Your Game, BFM 89.9. Race Your Game on Enterprise. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. I'm here with Shankar Santor from EQTD for our week two in the 5 C's of developing quality workplace relationships. Is our second C, which is courtesy and trust, because trust begins with a T. And together, okay, so Karina Bahrain is here, owner of the La Pari Pari Resort in Langkawi Island. And apart from having her resort, she also used to come on air. She's a PR practitioner as well. In fact, we used to work together way back when. And the thing, first thing I noticed about her was her laughter. Now, tell us a little bit about your new venture, this resort, okay? And then a little later, your thoughts about connecting with care at the work. Place. But yeah, a little bit about your resort first.
La Pari Pari is a 12-room resort. It's very small. We have a staff force of huge 5.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
7 on some days.
And sometimes they make the guests work as well, so
yes.
Fair enough.
Depending on who you are. But we're a very small little setup on Pantai Tengah and very new.
Okay.
We're only 3 months old.
Oh, okay. All the plumbing sorted.
Yes, plumbing sorted.
And I can vouch for the place. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
So, okay, how do you do that, connecting with care, you know, at this resort? And I guess also like your previous work experience, how this all sort of ties up together, if it does.
Well, I think...
Courtesy and trust. You need that, right?
Courtesy is something that people take for granted as a given when it comes to customers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, as you rightly pointed out, it's also perhaps even more important in the workplace.
Mm.
I've had to work with people who are not very nice, and I've not worked with them very long.
Right? Isn't that the case with all of us? When we have people we don't like working with, somehow we find ways of getting out, or we try and get them out. You know?
And she's ability to diffuse this with laughter. So there was a lot of laughter in the office.
Right.
You know, but also with the resort, okay, what were you thinking of when you wanted to start this resort?
I was temporarily insane.
Okay.
But, no, I wanted to do something small that I could kind of get my hands dirty with, and I have in many ways.
Yes.
But I like working with this very small group of people. The people I work with now are very different from the people I've been working with in the corporate world because they're very young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The average age is probably, I don't know, 22.
Right.
They're all locals.
Some of them have migrated from KL like me.
Oh, I tell you.
And you've got a mixture of people doing different tasks and
yes,
skills as well.
Yes.
You know, so.
I think we have one Indonesian, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But average age is 22, so very young
you
team.
You need all of them to work for you and work with you.
Yeah. I need them to work with me, actually.
That's right.
And like you were saying, I think one of the important things and one of the things I quickly saw was when I don't know how to do something, I'm the first one to own up.
Yeah.
They help.
Yeah. And people dive in because you've owned up.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
You're not trying
That'd
to be all
great.
Funny and, you know, like, you know.
Like, where do you get staplers in Langkawi? I don't know. I've never lived there. It's that basic.
Yeah.
And, okay,
I can imagine.
In that process of hiring, some of them would be people you didn't know before. How do you know that it would work? work? What were you asking in the interview process?
Well, you don't really know when you hire somebody, but you do get an impression of someone when you first meet them. And my first basic requirement was very simple. And it was incredibly hard to find in a place like Langkawi, somebody who's fluent in English and also very fluent in Malay, because you have to deal with, you know, English-speaking customers most of the time, and you have to deal with vendors who, you know, predominantly speak Malay. Really? So that was the baseline criteria. And they had to be polite. Yes.
You look good, you breathe, you speak two languages.
Yes, you are hired. And then as we progress, I found, you know, certain people work, some people haven't. Even in the last 3 months, we've lost a couple of people, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Okay.
And the ones that are still with us, you know, I'm very happy with.
Okay, and why didn't those people fit in? Those people stay on?
Attitude.
Okay.
I think it's very clear with the ones who stay that I'm someone who's going to get my hands dirty. So if you don't want to get your hands dirty, it's not a place you should be working at.
And that ties back a little bit with what we're talking about today as well, the trust element. You know, I mean, people go, and you must be able to trust that they will actually roll their sleeves up and do the work in a small, all hands on deck kind of resort, which is what you run and own. And if you feel that they're not, if the feeling here is if you trust that they don't want to do that or they can't, you let them go. And so being trust, that element of trust is in your belief that someone is reliable, in your belief that they're good for something, something they promise.
I think trust for me has always been about empowerment. You need to be able to empower the people you're working with, or the people who are working for you, to do their work.
Absolutely.
So that they feel a sense of ownership over what they're doing.
And you will only reach that stage of empowerment when you trust them.
Yeah. I mean, it's a chicken and egg situation. Yeah. I think in the beginning, I usually tend to give them a slightly longer leash.
That's right. You need to be able to allow them to make the mistakes and pat them on their back and say yes. And absolutely.
Or no, let's go this way
instead.
Right.
That's right. No.
And then over time, you should see an improvement.
Is it difficult because you're such a small organization to allow people to make mistakes?
No, it's easier.
Because you're small.
Okay. You know exactly where the little gaps are.
Okay.
But I'm quite happy. I mean, we've had a couple of hiccups in the last couple of months, small ones with guests.
For example?
Let's say, you know, a housekeeper doesn't clean a toilet properly or forgets to make the bed and does everything else in the room. So we've all kind of put our heads together and said, okay, we need checks and balances. Sure. And everyone's kind of pulled together and given suggestions. And we now have a better process, we hope.
Okay. So which was kind of related to my next question about how, you know, in the hospitality industry, and we said this earlier on, you know, its courtesy is so vital. I guess also in this resort and in your PR life, you know, how have you seen that employees who connect with courtesy to each other are more productive? And I guess this is one example.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think I have had people in the team, you know, in my previous life as a PR consultant, who were impolite. And it just creates a lot of disharmony and is very counterproductive. I'm very happy with the team I have now. I think because they're all young, they're all about the same age group. They get on, and, you know, the workplace is, they come to work with smiling, I think. To me, I think a sign that they're happy is they kind of hang around and they don't want to leave after they're done.
At 12 o'clock, all the staff are still there. At 12 o'clock midnight. I came back in and everyone, it was like a party going on.
Could
it was
the
just
bar.
The staff.
They could be the bar, yeah.
Also very interesting, this question, Frida, because about people creating bad atmospheres by not being, by being discourteous. Have you found that people at a higher level, or people who are supposedly experts at what they do, are they more discourteous or are they less discourteous? I don't know.
No? Actually, to be very blunt, in my experience, it's been people who are generally insecure.
That's That's right.
Doesn't matter what level of expertise. So usually they're not very good.
Right. So it is actually, and I think that's the key learner here, you know, for us, that it is actually people who are insecure. It's actually people who don't know what they're doing that become in. So I think employers need to keen eye on this. Okay. Look at people like this.
And I guess also, Karina, like in your experience, how do you develop trust at the workplace? As you were saying, the leash is kind of long.
I think empowerment is very important. You need to make sure people understand that they have the power to do their jobs. What I always tell people I work with is, hey, the minute I start micromanaging you, then you know you've got to pull your socks up. Because my style of managing is I let you do the work. The other thing is also, I think if you're going to put in a process or a rule or something you want people to follow, you need to make them understand why it's there. Not just tell them, do X, Y, Z.
I need to buy into it,
Yeah, you need to buy into it, one.
And you need to know why.
Because if you don't know why, actually as an employer, it's also closing you off to the possibility that that employee might have a better suggestion.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know.
But how do you explain the fact that the toilet wasn't clean?
The toilet wasn't clean. I saw it myself. And I said, it's disgusting, go take a look. And they went and took a look and they said, oh my God, it's disgusting. So, you know, visual impact works well.
All right. Any last thoughts about this whole idea of courtesy and how you're now putting it to your own business, Karina?
I think at the end of the day, people say the buck stops at the top. Right. It also starts at the top. Yeah. I mean, if you have a boss who is rude to everybody, everyone else is going to be rude to each other.
And I think a combination of your laughter and your gregarious nature makes your resort a very interesting resort to go to, and I think everyone captures that feeling. And I can say this, that people who work at that resort, housekeepers and everyone else, have that bouncy, you know, happy, let's all just merrymake. We didn't say that.
No,
allowed to
say
drugs or right? No, but yeah, they're on the happy pill, all of them. And I think it starts with you. You know, I think that courtesy and trust you develop. Mm. I think courtesy and trust is very basic. We all know, you know, every church and every temple and every school. You know, Pratik and Civic, we learned that at school. But it's actually translating it into day-to-day action when you are under stress. You know, it requires a certain amount of emotional intelligence as well. At that moment in time, to actually say, you know what, I have to be courteous. I really have to be courteous. And empowering people so that they can develop trust. Karina's hit the nail right on the head.
And alcohol is duty-free at Langkawi Island. Karina Varin, owner of the La Pari Pirate Resort in Langkawi. Check that out. Tushanka Santer from EQTD Consulting. This is Rage Again, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.